Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to comedic actor Jordan L. Jones about his role on the new Fox series, Rel. I also talk to drummer extraordinaire Henry Conaway III about his new album, With Pride for Dignity, which debuted this week. And closing out the show is the CEO of the National Black Arts Festival, Vicky Morrow. The Atlanta-based festival is celebrating its 30th anniversary all month long, and she's got the 411 on all of the events and more. I'll also be playing music from Henry Conaway III, as well as Beyonce and Sonny Rollins, who both celebrated birthdays this week. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Southern Casting Associates is looking for mobsters for an upcoming project. The actors must be between the ages of 30 to 50 and be available to film on Tuesday, September 11th in East Point, Georgia. If this is you, please submit a photo along with your name, location, phone number, age, and clothing sizes to submissions.sca@gmail.com with mobster in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news. Congratulations to stage, screen, and TV legend Cicely Tyson. She will be receiving an honorary Oscar at the 10th Annual Governor's Awards on November 18th. The award ceremony is hosted by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and is given to individuals for lifetime achievement and exceptional contributions to the state of motion picture arts and sciences. Tyson will be recognized alongside publicist Marvin Levy, composer Lalo Schifrin, and producers Kathleen Kennedy and Frank Marshall. And finally, a big round of applause goes to the African American Film Critics Association. They are the subject of a special tribute appearing in the September 4th edition of Variety Magazine, the world's leading trade publication covering film and television. The special spotlight features a comprehensive look at African American Film Critics Association evolution since its start in the fall of 2003 to its present status as an institution with growing influence in Hollywood. Variety's tribute coincides with the organization's curation of the Turner Classic Movies, The Black Experience on Film, an eight-part series highlighting 32 iconic films hosted by the organization's founders and members running throughout September. Go to WCLK.com to check it out. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue. Support for WCLK programming comes from the Family Health Centers of Georgia and Toyota, presenting The Sounds of Good Medicine on Saturday, September 8th at 7 p.m. at the Mabel House Barnes Amphitheater. This evening of smooth jazz features performances by Jonathan Butler, Huge Groove, Peter White, and Michael Franks. Ticket information is available at the Mabel House Barnes Amphitheater or at Ticketmaster.com.
Something told me it was over. Yeah. When I saw you and her talking, something deep down in my soul said, cry, girl. When I saw you and that girl walking around, ooh, I would rather go blind, boy.
I'm Niecy Nash.
I'm Karrueche Tran.
And you are listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Woo!
Who would have ever thought my wife would have an affair with my barber? You cannot tell Dad about the barber.
You know I got you.
Your wife and your barber? All that money I spent on you for glasses as a child? You didn't see this coming? Oh, go on, this ain't about you. Your life may be in shambles because your wife left you.
It's not talking about me, right?
I know. Y'all know who I was talking about. It's Brother Rev. It's him. It's all his life.
Rel. Special preview Sunday, September 9th on Fox.
You just heard a sneak peek from the upcoming Fox series, Rel, starring comedic actors Lil Rel Howery, Jess Hilarious, Sinbad, and my first guest, Jordan L. Jones. The 30-minute show features Howery as a loving husband and father from the west side of Chicago who finds out his wife is having an affair with his barber. He later finds out that his embarrassing business is known by everyone, and he receives support from his best friend, Brittany, his younger brother, Nat, and his prideful dad. A special preview of Rel airs tomorrow night at 8 p.m., following the NFL on Fox, and will begin airing regularly on Sunday, September 30th at 9:30 p.m. I caught up with Jordan during a recent Atlanta screening of the show where he talked about his character.
So I play, obviously, Rel's little brother. Nat is my character in the show, my character's name. And, I mean, the funniest part about my character is that, yes, I came, I'm freshly out of prison and for selling ecstasy, right? But it's funny when you... when you think about certain things, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, he should be a hard character, whatever. But the comedic part of this is the fact that I was selling, you know, drugs to college kids. And I wasn't in jail for that long. So when I come out, I'm like, yo, this and that. And they're just like, yo, shut up, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't hard just because, okay, whatever, you know. You the male, you think you the male because you was in jail. Nah, man, it's not even like that. So that's a part of the comedy. What I do. And one of my my premise in the show usually, you know, it's about Rel's shortcomings, you know, as a man. And, you know, it's kind of like a Martin Fresh Prince vibe. Every single episode has something to do with something else. And, you know, each time there's a dilemma or whatever that I'm trying to help my big bro through, you know, as a little brother. Well, usually the things that I say and the things that I do aren't the things that, you know, he's going to agree to. And that's another part of the comedy of it. But, hey, man, but there's sometimes where, you know, big bro does listen to little bro. And it does work out, too. But then sometimes I do mess them up. But y'all going to have to see and wait and watch the season.
Jones also opened up about working alongside his veteran co-stars.
It's actually phenomenal because you think about Hollywood and you think about, you know, big name actors and people on the uprise. And you kind of make generalizations about them. So, and, you know, Sinbad is a huge, you know, he's a legend. Lil Rel's on the up and coming. He's doing everything. And so what's great, the greatest part about those two is that they're so humble. And I'm not just saying this. It's like, man, there's times where I've literally had conversations all throughout the week working with somebody. I have conversations with him for hours. Little Rel tells me if I'm on a, you know, I'm new, you know what I'm saying? This is my first, you know, series regular. And sometimes, you know, being the youngest, I kind of got caught up. I'm like, man, am I doing this right? And Lil Rel always puts his hand on my shoulder. Man, dude, you're good, man. We hired you for a reason. Everything's good. And that helps me with my confidence on the show to make the show better. They're always giving little gems, stuff that I can't even tell you guys. You know what I'm saying? Just little comedy gems that I can actually, that I use that you wouldn't notice, which is why y'all are laughing. But but it's great just being a part of a set where, because I say this example a lot of time, you know, there can be a great movie or a great TV show, and we just watch the film, and the film's like, man, that film was great. But we don't know what happened behind the scenes, you know what I'm saying? But so, and when we're working, and so, man, we go out together, you know, we have lunch together, and it's not like, you know, if Sinbad or Rel was in there, you know, they were in their trailer for, because they didn't have a scene or whatever the case might be, they deserve to be there, but they usually aren't. They're always around, always trying to make, you know, the show and the scenes better. And basically all the egos are checked at the door. They don't have any egos. And that's one thing that not I was surprised with, but I was just happy that I believed in that. Because being new, it's like, man, I hope that they're what I think they are, and they are. You know, so that was, it was a blessing that I got, you know, I landed this with people that are just so humble that, you know, the egos are, like I said, are all checked at the door. They're willing to help, you know, us. We even give them some advice, like somebody be asking me sometimes, hey man, like, is that cool? You know, whatever the case is. And sometimes he'll throw me a little something. So it's really just a privilege and an honor just to be on this show.
Go to WCLK.com to check out pictures from the Atlanta screening of Rel and much more.
Programming on WCLK is made possible in part by St. James Live. St. James Live presents Smooth Sundays with keyboardist, songwriter, and producer James Lloyd. Sunday, September 9th, James Lloyd is one of the co-founders of Pieces of a Dream. He has written and produced songs for Najee, Hiroshima, Everett Harp, and Wayman Tisdale. James Lloyd, live at St. James on September 9th. Doors open at 6 p.m. Showtime time at 7 p.m. St. James Live is located at 3220 Butner Road in Atlanta. Ticket information is available at stjameslive.com.
Hi, this is Karen White, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
That was new music from my next guest, Henry Conaway III. The jazz sensation released his long-awaited album, With Pride for Dignity, this week, and features him alongside Kenny Banks Jr. and Kevin Smith. I caught up with Henry, who is currently on tour with Grammy-nominated vocalist Jasmia Horn, to chat about the new album and more. Well, good morning, Henry Conaway III, and welcome to Upfront. Hey. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Ray?
Man, I am so excited about this interview. I know we had talked when you were here at the Atlanta Jazz Festival, and just excited for you. I always get excited for my Atlanta people. I know you're in New York City, but I still consider you as part of my ATL family, and just know the journey. I know, you know, what it has been for you to get to this point. So congratulations on your new album, With Pride for Dignity, just dropped this week.
Thank you.
How did all of this come about? Because, again, I just saw you back in May for the Atlanta Jazz Festival, and here we are with this new project. So how did all of this come about?
Yes, May was an exciting time. It's always great to be in my home away from home. I'm originally from Detroit, but as you know, went to college in Atlanta at dear old Morehouse, and So, I met Kevin and Kenny while I was living in Atlanta. I was there for 10-ish years, something like that. And Kevin Smith, our bassist, is one of the first people that I met in Atlanta. One of the first peers, actually, to be more accurate, that I met in Atlanta. I was going to Churchill Grounds, that club that was owned by Sam Yee.
Yeah.
To the Harper family jam session.
Okay.
And Kevin was there. We were both, you know, learning about the music and coming up through the jam session tradition. And we gravitated to each other and went on to play together for years and tour. And we've done, you know, a ton of records together and worked with Julie Dexter and Tony Hightower and Russell Gunn and Dion Ferris and Kathleen Bertrand and just, you know, all of the staples, there in the Atlanta and actually the world, you know, these are all wonderfully amazing touring artists, and Dwight Andrews, especially Jerry Allen, the list goes on and on. And Kenny Banks Jr. is one of those people that I don't even remember meeting. Like, he was just someone I feel like I've known forever. He relocated from Columbus, Ohio, where he's from, to Atlanta. And I have to say Jr. because his dad is also a phenomenal pianist. And so the three of us kind of found each other playing together, and just the group was phenomenal. So we talked about one day just documenting what it is that we've enjoyed doing so much, which is playing music together and sharing ideas and bringing audiences into that space. And so that's what happened. We decided that we would go into the studio and record a record.
Yeah. Now, the title of the project, With Pride for Dignity, where did that come from? Because those are some powerful words.
It's a really poignant title that comes from a composition by Kenny Banks Jr. of the same name. He brought this composition to the group, and we would rehearse down at First Church, which where Reverend Dwight Andrews is the pastor,
right,
who also wrote the liner notes for the record. So for those of you who want to grab a hard copy, because it's only available in hard copy, man, he wrote some brilliant notes as well. But Kenny wrote this tune, and it had so many different sections to it, and it paints a story. It's really one of those songs that puts you in the mindset of a movie, if you will. You can almost see the action that's happening. And I think it was a really clear musical statement that allows people to understand it, especially when you marry the music with the title. I think you get it. It's really self-explanatory. You can hear, and I don't give too much away because I want people to have a chance to hear it for themselves and to be influenced, not by my words, but by the music, to what it is that Kenny and Kevin and myself are doing our best to convey with that music. It's a powerful thing. It speaks to the experience of Africans in America. It speaks to the lineage that our people have dealt with, and the struggles and the hardships and the triumphs and the victories, how we can continue to be proud in the face of so much turmoil and strife.
Was a clip from Sugar Ray, which of course I had to had to ask you about that, because the name, of course, Ray, you know, is in it, and that's actually the nickname that one of my line brothers calls me is Sugar Ray. But let's talk about that particular song.
So this tune is one that I was introduced to by a friend of mine in New York, and it was composed by Phineas Newborn Jr., who's originally from Memphis. So he's got a trio recording with Paul Chambers and Roy Haynes. And on that recording, they play this composition. And it's just something that we fell in love with. I heard it, and I knew that Kenny would love it, and I knew that Kevin would love it. And so I brought it into the group and said, hey, guys, you know, let's add this to the book. And it's actually the first song we did in the studio. I think it's, for the most part, the first take, but I know it's the first song, and it really set the whole vibe for the record. You know, Phineas Newborn Jr. is one of those lesser-known pianists, and he didn't live very long or have a tremendously large body of work, but he was, you know, a prodigy, and I've been in conversation with his son, and we just want to shed light on some amazing talent that's, you know, play some kind of songs that are lesser known and also some songs that are well known. But we're about diversity in this band. We're about an experience that is as well-rounded as can be.
Yeah. Now, in addition to the album's release this week, which came out on September 4th, that also served as the debut for you as the band leader at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola in New York City. How cool was that? Because that's like an iconic place to perform, and you're now the band leader. So how did that collaboration, I should say, come about?
Oh, it very much is. It very much is. All the people at Jazz at Lincoln Center have been very warm and very kind. Thank you to Roland and to Georgina, and especially to Raynell and Uni, who we talked to about this project, and they were kind enough to say, you know what, let's do this here. Let's have this release celebration at Dizzy's. And, you know, I don't know if you've been to Dizzy's. I'm sure you have. But those views are magnificent. That city skyline in the background, the ambiance for just the release of some kind of – the ambiance for the release of some great music is not one that can be beat by many, if any, venues in the world. So we're excited to have debuted this record there at that club, and for these two events to have coincided with each other. The crowd there was amazing. It was standing room only. I'm still excited about the night. It's only maybe a day and a half since we've done that show. So
yeah,
yeah, we're really excited.
Now, you're currently touring with Jasmia Horn, who, like I said, you guys were here back in May for the Atlanta Jazz Festival. What has that been like with her? Because she is just a huge talent. I love her. I follow her on Instagram, and she's just so amazing. So what has that been like working with her?
It's amazing to be a part of someone's ascension. Jasmia and I met in New York before she won the Monk competition. And she was a humble, fierce, just incredibly amazing musician. I won't limit her to the word singer, because she truly is a musician, composer, arranger, and one of the baddest at that, as well as, you know, an incredible vocalist. So it's been a lot of fun to be on the road with her and to support her journey and just to watch it. I mean, so many amazing things have happened in her career. We're currently in Taipei, Taiwan. It's about 2-something in the morning here. As we're doing this interview, we finished a sound check and press conference today at a wonderful hall, and we're looking forward to performing tomorrow. I was with her when she had her Newport Jazz Festival debut and the Atlanta Jazz Festival debut, and they love her in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. We were in Atlanta in January, and thanks to the Atlanta Jazz Festival, to Camille Russell Love for having us, and to the audience, it's actually, and I can speak for her this one little time, but I know that Atlanta is one of her favorite audiences and one of mine as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really exciting to work with her.
Now, speaking of a tour, will you be on tour for this project with Pride for Dignity? With Pride for Dignity,
we are in the works, putting some dates together now. So we're looking forward to Atlanta and Detroit, my hometown, and a couple more cities. So yes, we're looking forward to bringing this experience to as many people as we can.
Yeah. Now, what I didn't say, and if folks who don't know who you are, you started off in the group Jazz Specs at Morehouse College. Oh, God, had to be 2006, maybe.
We're not going to say how long that was.
But it's been a while. But what is one of the biggest lessons that you learned along the way? I mean, you've really stuck with traditional jazz. You did not go the route of smooth jazz. You've really stuck with traditional jazz. What has been one of the biggest lessons that you have held on to that has kept you moving in that vein of traditional jazz music?
So first off, much love to my brothers at Jazz Specs, Terrence, Dwayne, James, Jay, John, Christopher. I love those guys. We're still great friends to this day. And actually, the lessons that I learned, the ones that have kept me the most, are the lessons that I learned with those gentlemen. I learned about dealing with music, but also very much about dealing with business. We had a chance to do some things, and through trial and error, we were able to find the best practices for how to survive. You know, I still look to those guys for inspiration about touring or about producing music or about running a business or just enjoying life. Man, those lessons are the ones that were huge. And as far as straight ahead jazz is concerned, what I learned again with Jazz Specs is that if you believe in what it is that you're doing and you're honest about it and you go at it with everything that you got, you will be successful. We found success because we were doing what it is that we love to do and what we were passionate about doing. And this is, you know, again, with this band, this is what we love to do. We are making the music that we enjoy making, and that transfers to our audience. They feel our excitement, which allows them to become excited about the music. I think for any artistry, you have to do something that you believe in, something that you are convicted about, so that you can tell authentic stories.
Yeah. Well, Henry Conaway, thank you so much for being a guest on Upfront. Again, congratulations on your new project with Pride for Dignity, which is available now. And so much love for you, man. I'm just overjoyed that you were able to get this out, and just to see again your success from Atlanta now doing big things in New York City and around the world. So congratulations to you. We can get more information about the album at WCLK.com. Thanks so much, Henry.
Thank you so much, Ray. Much love, brother.
This is Coleman Domingo, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last guest is the CEO of the National Black Arts Festival, Vicky Morrow. The Atlanta-based festival is celebrating its 30th anniversary this month with four signature events for art and music enthusiasts. Morrow stopped by the Upfront studios this week to chat about them, the future of NBAF, and much more. Well, Vicky Morrow, good morning and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is so good to have you in the studio. Got a chance to meet you, what was that, like maybe a month ago?
Yeah.
And here you are. So congratulations on the 30th anniversary of the National Black Arts Festival.
Woo! I know, I can't believe it. Very exciting for us.
Where did the time go?
I don't know, because I was just an infant. I had to have been, because I've been around for almost all 30 years. So,
yeah.
But we have so many fond memories of NBAF and the outdoor festival at Piedmont Park and all of the events that took place mostly in the first couple of decades of our existence. So, yeah.
Now, September, you guys are basically taking over the city of Atlanta. We have a number of events that we want to do a rundown for. So let's get started. We want to start with the gallery exhibit and artist talk. But actually, before we do that, let's talk about why you guys decided to focus on the visual arts this time around.
Yeah, so what we're most known for is the outdoor festival that took place mostly in the first two decades of our existence. And we've moved to a format where we're doing more in-school programming as well as an annual season. And by that we mean we select a month, and the month is typically September, where we do a series of public events for folks to come and take part. We have always focused on multiple disciplines, and by that we mean visual art, dance, music, film, theater, and literary arts. But this year we decided to focus exclusively on visual arts. One is our 30th anniversary. It's one of the things we've most been known for. And to be honest, there are restrictions in the budget. So it's hard to make sure that all the disciplines come alive. So we wanted to really focus on one and do it well.
So let's talk about the exhibition that you guys have. It's an exhibit, a gallery exhibit, and artist talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're really excited about this. So, again, the focus on visual arts, and we are highlighting 12 phenomenal visual artists, mostly emerging, some established artists, and this is going to be at the Westside Cultural Arts Center. The exhibit, frankly, is already open,
okay,
but we're going to have a weekend of activities on September 15th and 16th, where everyone can come and see the amazing work. Some of the artists will be there. We'll have light refreshments, a DJ, a real fun atmosphere. So we're very excited about this. Some of the artists that will be there are actually Lillian Blades, Alfred Conti, Lala Ford, Shaniqua Gay, Mario Moore, Ronnie Henderson, Fahamo Pico, Charlie Palmer, Cheryl Riley, William Thomas, Zipporah Thompson, Cedric Umoja, and Cosmo White, some of our most famous visual artists. So.
Some of those names I'm familiar with, so that's really exciting.
Yeah.
You guys also have another exhibition that's taking place September 22nd through October 12th. You want to
Absolutely,
talk about that?
Absolutely, yeah. So okay, the exhibit I just described is one that's present day and focused on the artists that are present and working now. The exhibit that you're talking about is at Chastain Park Gallery, and it opens, as you mentioned, on September 22nd. And it's open for 3 weeks, and it's a look back. And so it's 30 years of NBAF, and we will do a flashback to some past festivals. We have videos, we have photos, we have some of the commissioned art pieces, the visual art pieces will be on display there. And we have a reception that people can attend on September 22nd 27th, excuse me, September 27th at 6 p.m. So all of this information also is on our website. But two exciting exhibits, one looking forward and one looking back.
Looking back, yeah. And that one seems a little bit more interactive, too. You mentioned the video pieces as
Absolutely. It is a little more, both of them, frankly. I didn't mention that on both have a little aspect of film and video. So, yes, it is interactive as well.
Yeah. Now, you also have a exciting partnership with our good friends over at True Colors. They've got a new production that's coming up. So let's talk about that as well.
Yes, I just got off the phone with Chandra Stevens-Albright, who is their new managing director. We've been friends for decades. But their upcoming exhibit is Nina Simone, Four Women. And it's been part of the history of NBAF, not only to curate or showcase our own work, but to collaborate with partners so that we can showcase each other's work. And this year, True Colors actually celebrates 15 years. Mm-hmm. NBAF celebrates 30. But the True Colors first production, Kenny Leon's first production under the True Colors umbrella, was actually a part of the NBAF season. So we think it's very appropriate that in this 30th anniversary season for us, that we take part and make sure that we highlight the work at True Colors. And so that event is actually their final dress rehearsal, September 23rd, which is a Sunday evening, right before the show opens for several weeks. So Nina Simone has always been a part of the NBAF festivals. And so this is a wonderful way to highlight our collaborative work.
Okay. And folks can come out and watch this final dress rehearsal, correct, with you guys?
Yes, they can. But we need them to go to the website to RSVP. It's limited seating. But yes, absolutely. Or go to the True Colors website. Yes.
Yeah. And then closing out the month is the second line on the Beltline.
Yes. You know, one of the things that we were missing, but all of the events that we just talked about are all indoors. And one of the most fun things I hear people say about the National Black Arts Festival and their NBAF experience is they remember sort of this family reunion feel in an outdoor event. And so we decided to do something a little different. So this one is called Second Line on the Beltline, and we're going to be on the west side of the Beltline near the Kroger. We're actually going to start at Kipps Drive Academy and do the Second Line dance, which starts with obviously a band in front. Kebby Williams and the Wolfpack will lead us down for a one-mile parade processional down the Beltline and end at Gordon White Park. And once we get to Gordon White Park, not only will there be refreshments there, but Orchestra Noir, which is a phenomenal all-black orchestra with their maestro, will be there to greet us, and we'll get a chance to listen to some phenomenal music in the park.
And that's taking place on?
September 29th.
Okay.
It'll actually start at 3:30 at Kipps Drive Academy, and then the concert will start at Gordon White Park at 4:30.
All right.
Yeah.
Again, so many exciting events, and you can get all this information at your website. You can also check it out at WCLK.com. We're really excited about this. I mean, just the art and theater and music. What's next? What's the vision moving forward for the festival?
Yeah, so one of the things is we're reimagining NBAF, and we're really moving away from calling it the festival. It's one of the things. We want to move forward and just really refer to the organization as NBAF because we're more than just a festival. As we mentioned, the first couple decades, it was really just an outdoor festival, but we have year-round programming. We also have events or activities, I should say, or programs for our students. We are working hard to develop the next generation of artists. So we've got in-school programs as well as events to highlight emerging fashion design students. And then last but not least, we will always have a season that'll focus on some discipline of the arts like we just described this September.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, very excited about what you guys are doing over there and cannot wait. I'm really excited about this second line of the Beltline.
Yes, that should be fun.
I love the Beltline. It's so, for me, it's so relaxing to just walk and just stroll, and you get to see all of the different establishments that they've started to build
Absolutely.
On that side and the homes. So that should be really fun.
And the west side isn't utilized just as much as the east side of the Beltline. So we're excited to sort of break it in.
Yeah.
We'll have some parasols. We welcome everyone to create their own and come on out and have a little party with us.
Yeah. Well, Vicky Morrow, thank you so much for being a guest on Upfront. Again, you can get more information about this at WCLK.com.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good.
Well, that'll do it for today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Jordan L. Jones, Henry Conaway III, and Vicky Morrow. I would also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, September 15th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. You can also follow us on Instagram at Upfront The Show. That's at Upfront The Show. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.